Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me for this segment is Mary Niemela. Welcome back, Mary, from the Barbara Kettle Gunlock Shelter Home. Mary, it's good to have you on the show again.
Thanks for having us again.
Now, you have your spring fundraiser coming up. We're going to be talking about that and, of course, some other issues related to domestic violence and the great work that your shelter home provides for victims of domestic violence in our area and the awareness that you create. Your organization creates partnerships with other organizations in the area as well. So let's just give kind of a preview on the fundraiser for people to know what's coming up.
Sure. This is our 10th annual Spring Music Celebration and Silent Auction. And it's going to be on Saturday, April 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. And this year we're moving it north. We're coming up to the Kalama Golf Course to Jazzy's Restaurant. And Kevin Antle is the manager there, and he's allowing us to come in and take over his establishment. And the music is being provided by Cheap Therapy again this year. They were very much welcomed last year at the event, and so we asked them to come and play, and they're going to be playing from 7 to 10. We usually end our auction by 9 p.m. just so we can make sure everybody gets their items and that. So if you see the flyer and it says 7 to 9 and then the music is 7 to 10, that's exactly what it is. And we will be providing some light refreshments and bakery, but of course Kevin has his restaurant open there. If you'd like to dine, that's perfectly fine. He will have people there to take care of that, and of course that's on your own. The only thing that we ask is that it's a suggested donation of $10 to come in and hopefully bid on some great silent auction items. Of course, this year we have a quilt again done by Carrie Loma. She calls it her domestic violence quilt, and purple is the color for Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and she has made the quilt in all the different shades of purple, and she does a beautiful job, and thanks to Carrie for donating that again. We also have some other big ticket items, a beautiful painting of Five Mile Point with the Lake Superior and the birch trees, and just other local people giving some great items. Of course, we have a lot of Copper Country talent and great shops that donate to us throughout the year.
Great venue there at Jazzy's at Calumet, Golf Club. Now, I that's my favorite golf course. I enjoy going there. Of course, it's my favorite because it's just down the street from where
yes,
I live.
That's
so
true.
It makes it easy to stop by on the way home. We probably won't be doing any golfing on April 21st.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Kevin's up for that yet.
But their venue, I believe, is open all year round or most of the
right.
year. So, yep. You know, it's definitely a good place to stop. And a great, you know, it's nice that you're bringing this up north a little bit, you know, so up into the Calumet area. It's been a few months since we've talked, and I was wondering, you know, what updates have there been with the shelter since we last had a chance to sit down?
Well, we've been lucky enough to receive, this is our second year of our VOCA grant, which is the Victim of Crime Act, and this is the first time in the that the shelter, our shelter, has received this grant, and so that's a plus for us, and we were able to hire another staff person with that grant. A client advocate, which really kind of is filling an unmet need that we had at the shelter. She's helping with the support, the kids group on support group night. And so what she's basically doing is sitting with the older children that come and they're doing the craft, but they need to talk about stuff, whether it's them or something going on or a reason why they're parent, their mom is there or whatever, but it's filling that void that we were missing, and this position has been a great asset to the shelter, I believe, and so that's one other big thing. Now we have 6 full-time staff at the shelter and 1 in Ontonagon County as an our advocate there, our court advocate, and then we have, of course, our part-time staff. And so, and we've been getting a few volunteers Good. More than that we've had before. And thanks to this radio station and other forms of social media that has allowed us to advertise for volunteers, because we certainly need those. I always say we have 168 hours a week to cover, and Only so much of it can be done by paid staff. Yeah, and still have a budget left for direct services for clients.
Yes, in the fall you were doing those volunteer training sessions on the Saturdays. And,
right.
You know, we were trying to get people to come out and
yes.
help out as much as they could.
And we're going to be trying to do that every other month, you know, have a training and just offer it and see how many people can come. And it's just a very rewarding experience. That's how I started at the shelter, was showing up to volunteer and never volunteered. I left with a job application 27 years ago, and that's how that ended. But I was the coordinator of volunteer services in the beginning, and it was very rewarding for me and the volunteers. At that time, we had 35 volunteers in 1990, and boy, life got busy for a lot of people. And you know, now our numbers are growing again. We have about 8 volunteers, but you know, I always say if 20 volunteers take a 4-hour shift once a month, that would really cut down on what we have to pay people to come in and be there. So,
what kind of work does a volunteer typically do?
Well, we have somebody there 24/7 every day of the year, and so we have the volunteers do what we also do at the shelter, is answer the phones and you know, just take care of all the needs of the clients that are there at the time, whether it be just listening or, you know, helping them look for housing in the newspaper or just doing whatever needs to be done. And and we have to have somebody there whether we have anybody in-house or not. So that's basically what they're doing.
The Barbara Ghetto Gunlock Shelter Home does a lot of, you know, great work with this victim support services. There are other support services that we have in the area that may not do the exact same thing, but certainly there's benefits with, you know, working with other groups. What kind of partnerships are you working in and establishing?
Well, this year also is our second year of a rural grant that the there's 8 agencies in the Upper Peninsula. There's 7 shelters and then Dell Help that receive this rural grant money. And we've been collaborating with, well, all 8 of our agencies, you know, get together about every 5-6 weeks and meet usually in Marquette and work on projects that are having to be done. But what we've collaborated locally with is Dial Help. And even though they, you know, they do the sexual assault cases and we do the domestic violence cases, we've put our coalition meetings together, because we end up inviting the same people and we end up evidently, you know, talking about the same information and the same referrals and the same services somewhat. And so we've combined those coalitions as of October 1st. So it's the Community Coalition for the Prevention of Domestic and Sexual Violence. And we meet every other month on Tuesdays, the third Tuesday of the month, and usually at noon. And, you know, we're very thankful that there's a lot of places around that'll let us meet there. Like next Tuesday, the 17th, our meeting is up at the Department of Health and Human Services conference room. And, you know, we have all the agencies that work with either victims or batterers come to this meeting, and we have a speaker usually, and of course lunch is provided. And it's a great collaboration of many agencies, you know, Head Start, the law enforcement, you know, the hospitals, schools, clergy, probation, the court systems. So we really try to keep people informed and on the same page of what's happening with both ourselves and Dial Help. And out of this rural grant, most recently coming up on May 10th and 11th is a law enforcement training by McColl's. And McColl's is the Michigan Coalition of Law Enforcement at the state level, and they're bringing up a speaker. And so Dial Help has collaborated with Michigan Tech Public Safety, and they are bringing up speakers to train law enforcement on sexual assault response. And April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and like October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we try to do speakers and things like that at that same time for that issue. And so this is all out there for all law enforcement in our local area, that this conference is, or this training, it's a 2-day training and it's free. That's the first drawing card, and you also get McColl's credits. And it'll be a very good training. It's up on Michigan Tech's campus at the I can never remember the name of it, the ADC or...
Okay. Yeah. The ADC. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Building.
Oh, over by the
ball field.
Well, I was going to say the Rock Museum.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The Minerals Museum. Now, I could see the value even more than just saving time with, you know, that collaboration with Dial Help, because, you know, if you take domestic violence, sexual assault, and then the other service that Dial Help also provides, crisis intervention for, you know, suicide, somebody suffering from one of these may very well be suffering from two or three of those things, or basically overlapping in needs of different services that they need to be referred to.
Right. And oftentimes if we get calls for somebody who is, you know, been sexually assaulted, you know, we'll listen and do what we can do to help, but we refer them to Dial Help because they're the experts on that. And then Dial Help does the same thing for us with the domestic violence calls. And that in itself is a collaboration, not just knowing who you are, but also what services you provide is so important for all of our agencies. You know, not just our two agencies, but our housing agencies that, you know, we end up at the shelter doing a lot of housing advocacy and making sure people can get affordable housing if that's choosing what they do. And of course, our court advocate is working all the time with the prosecution and the court system and the probation officers and anybody that's when someone's arrested that you might have the victim have to go through all of that, and to have that advocate there with her has been a huge benefit to the not only the victim but also to the community as well. Just to not have to worry about who that victim is going to be with and if the batterer is going to be able to intimidate her by being in court with her, you know. And, of course, we received that funding in 1995 when all the big laws changed. And so that was my position before I became a director, and it was very, very rewarding, as odd as that sounds.
Well, it's great that the law enforcement would be getting training on how to respond to sexual assault. Mm-hmm. How much effort is made to make sure that they're trained on responding to a domestic violence situation when they have to show up at a home, you know, they're called out there. Yeah. You know, there was maybe a time we go back far enough and it was just, you know, go and help reestablish peace in whatever was going on in their home was really between the two people in there.
Yeah. A number of years ago, I was trained, it was called MLOTSI then, which is Michigan Law Enforcement and Officers Training Council, I believe. Then it became McColl's, to be a law enforcement trainer and on domestic violence issues. And I remember going out to our local departments here. We had a group training, and one of the officers there was talking about, he'd been on the force for 28 years already, and when he first was on there, he remembers going and to a home. At that time, they called it spousal abuse. And just taking the husband and walking him around the block and trying to calm him down and make him promise he would never do this again, you know. And, of course, there were children watching all that happening. And then he said about 3 weeks before we had that training, he was then at the adult children now arresting that son that was watching that situation for domestic violence. And so that's how the laws have changed, and education has helped that along as well, to know that just walking him around the block isn't going to make it stop. And sometimes even jail and all the other programs isn't going to make it stop either. But, you know, because it's a behavior thing. So the training that we try to do with law enforcement is for domestic violence is always ongoing. I mean, we bring up speakers. We've had some pretty well-known speakers here. We've had people who are former prosecutors that have come up to talk about their response from, you know, at the state level. And we've had the Prosecuting Association of Michigan up here. We've had Mark Wynn, who's been up here a couple of different times as well as throughout the UP, and he's a retired law enforcement officer. And I remember when we had him here, I had many officers come up and say, oh my gosh, that was one of the best ones, Mary. You know, hopefully you can get him again sometime. Mm-hmm. I hope we can too, you know, but he's a very busy man. travels all over to do that and to speak. And so, you know, anytime we can get the opportunity to talk to not just law enforcement, but other agencies as well, just to keep them informed and updated on things that are changing. And I guess, along with that, I just wanted to mention that, you know, we get asked all the time, why doesn't she leave? And I don't think I've done a program here without saying this, but, you know, what we should be asking as a society is, why does he still abuse? You know, we need to hold the batterer accountable for that behavior, and instead of trying to put the blame on her to either get out and leave. And it's really difficult because she loves him and fears the behavior. And the behavior is that he believes he can act this way towards to somebody that he loves. And of course, I say he and she because 95% of the abuse of reported cases is against women. And there may be more than the 5% of males, but nonetheless, the majority of victims of domestic violence are female. And we do provide services for males who are victims of domestic violence as well. We can't house them at the shelter. We'd have to find another safe place for them to be. And we have. So it's not something that's foreign to us. So,
well, it's good that law enforcement and other agencies are getting the training and experience they need to be able to respond to domestic violence situations. But I was wondering, for those of us that are not involved in an agency like that, we're not part of law enforcement, we're just average mm-hmm. guys and girls out there, what can we do to help with this problem?
Well, certainly, you know, taking an active role in attending our fundraisers, for one thing, to know about what's happening in the community, but also just to take a stance and say, you know, this isn't okay. This isn't something that we condone in our community, and, you know, be supportive of things that are changing, laws that are changing, things that have to be voted on to stop violence against women and violence of any kind, certainly. But what we're working for is violence against women. That's what VAWA is all about. And the VOCA is Victim of Crime Act, so that's against any victim of crime. And just keep an eye on what's happening in the community as far as people being arrested or prosecuted, or if you see something, say something. You know, we've heard that phrase over and over and over again. If you see something and you're driving down Sheldon Avenue and somebody's come out of an establishment and, you know, he's got her up against the wall and, you know, shaking his fist at her or whatever, and she looks fearful, first of all, don't stop and jump in the middle of it, because then you have two people that could be arrested. And but I would call 911 right away and get somebody there to help her. That's a good thing and a bad thing. And it's a good thing that you think you're helping her, and it's also a bad thing that if he isn't arrested or taken away or separated, then unfortunately that all that is going to probably be her fault too, because she either screamed or she cried or she looked like she was being harmed, which she was. And so batterers are certainly not going to blame themselves for that behavior.
Well, what about, you know, that's, you know, pretty good examples there of, you know, if you see something going on. But a lot of times we can pick up on domestic violence in more subtle ways, just when the guys get together and they talk, or, mm-hmm. you know, or friends just, you know, get together at the backyard barbecue and stuff. And we may notice little things that maybe at one point were okay to say or to do, but you know, now it's not quite so much, you know. And yeah. what can somebody really do? You know, say if you know you're just hanging out with your pals.
Yeah, well, and that's a good thought, because last October when I was here, we talked about an advisory committee that I was working on forming. I gave myself a year challenge to do that from October to October, and I'm trying to get together at least a dozen men who would meet with me and help to educate maybe 12 more men, or, you know, then those 12 men might be another 12 men, and to talk to them about that exact issue, that if they're together in a group of, like you just said, friends or at a party, and somebody makes a joke about a woman or somebody that isn't, but this just doesn't sit well with you. And so what do you do as a man? Do you take them aside at some point and say, hey, I don't appreciate that? And or do you call them out in front of everybody? I mean, that's a risk in itself. And then you got to think about that a little bit farther as what if your wife or your girlfriend were there and you laughed at the joke? And so what's that telling her? Is like, well, you think the same as he does, you know? So it's really something that we have to set our mind to, not laughing at those types of jokes and just ignoring it. But maybe sometimes even your silence of not laughing at that joke will show the other eight people in that circle or those eight men that you're with that, hey, he didn't laugh at that. How come, you know? And so even if you don't say anything, but you don't react to it, it might show somebody else that, hey, that's not cool either. You know, we don't really want that type of behavior or those thoughts. And the guy that's making the joke might notice too that his friends aren't laughing anymore at his comments. So it's all a mindset and a behavior that we have to, and an attitude that we have to learn ourselves. You know? And women too, we have to do it too. If people are making cracks about men, you know, or somebody, you know, we do have to do that.
You said you're looking for people?
I am. I've been going around and talking to some people about being on this advisory committee, and it's not just people in power or authority or well-known in the community. So it's just anybody that really wants to help us out and help people in the other community to not react this way to, you know, comments about anything like that, violence against women or just behaviors. And so I'd like to start with 12 and see. And if anyone's interested, they can certainly email me at bkghome@pasty.com, or they can call me at 337-5632 at the shelter. And just say, hey, you're interested. When's the meeting? And when I get enough together, that's when the meeting will be.
There you go.
It might be, you know, September 29th, and I've made that October 1st date to get the 12 together. But I don't expect this all to change in a year's time. My goal this year is to get the 12 together, and then we can move on from there and see if everybody is on board.
So going back, you have your fundraiser coming up, the 10th annual Barber Kettle Gunlock Shelter Home Spring Music Celebration and Silent Auction. This is taking place Saturday, April 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Calumet Golf Course at Jazzy's. That's there. Very nice place. Mm-hmm. You also have Cheap Therapy from 7 to 10 performing and auction going on with a number of great items that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Suggested donation of $10 at the door. You'll be having some light refreshments. Plus, you might be able to buy a few things at Jazzy's that might encourage having a good evening. Besides this spring music celebration silent auction coming up, what other things you have just down the road that people should need to put on their calendars?
Yeah. Well, if you're on our Friends of the Shelter letter or list, you should have gotten your first letter just this past week. And then, of course, we're having our golf scramble in August, and right now it's tentatively set for the first Saturday up at Wyandotte Hills. That's where we've had it every year, and gosh, now that we talked about it, I can't remember if this is our fifth or our sixth or our seventh year. They've blended together, but we've had such a great time at every year that I guess the number really doesn't matter. It's an annual golf scramble, four-person golf scramble. And so we'll be giving out more information about that. And we're just hoping to have some whatever events come our way. And also, I forgot, the Keweenaw Path, which isn't a fundraiser put on by us, but it's put on for us, is May 26th. Yep, it's the Saturday, and it's up in Copper Harbor. And you can look on the keweenawpath.org website for details on that. I believe they're walking over the mountain drive again this year, and it's going to be at the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge. That's where all the activity will be held, and there'll be a silent auction as well there that Donica's putting together, and it should be another great, successful event there as well.
And probably the next time we get together, usually will be in October for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You going to have that motorcycle ride again?
Oh, yes, the first Monday. That's right. Thank you for bringing that up. Our awareness event will be the first Monday of October, and it'll be the motorcycle ride-in, and it'll be, it's Ride Against Abuse is what we call it, and it'll start up at the American Inn in Calumet and ride. This year we're going to go down through Lake Linden.
Oh, okay, change
around,
it up.
Yes,
okay.
And then up around, hopefully, through Houghton and come down past Michigan Tech and then end in the park there on the waterfront in Houghton. And so we've had some requests by the riders, so hopefully we can get the law enforcement to ride that long with us. And we had a lot of fun. It's just been growing and growing every year.
All right, real quick before we go, somebody wants to be able to donate, volunteer, or just want more information, how do they do that?
Well, if they want more information, they can call the shelter at 337-5632, or our email is bkghome@pasty.com. And if you just want to mail in a donation, it's to the Barber Kettle Gunlock Shelter at P.O. Box 8 in Calumet, Michigan, 49913.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.